Hi there, James. How you doing?
Good. How you going, Mark?
I'm excellent. I'm excellent. Hi, guys and girls. It's Mark Sams here. Today, we've got a really special guest. His name is James Shamko, and he's an internet marketer. James actually quit his high-profile job with Mercedes and entered into the world of online business back in 2005. His decision to leave Mercedes after climbing the corporate ladder was not one that he took lightly, but the potential that he recognized within internet marketing was far too great for him to ignore. James certainly was making an impressive living by most people's standards while working at Mercedes, and his amazing sales talent saw him quickly be recognized as somewhat of a superstar at the company, and he quickly rose the ranks, even in the face of some tough competition from other ambitious individuals. Now, his desire to always come out on top led him to stumble into the online marketing world, and that's how he actually discovered internet marketing. Now, there's no denying that James is very competent when it comes to the internet marketing game, and he's managed to get to grips with the ins and outs of online business, and has built himself actually a seven-figure empire, and that's just in a short amount of time. Now, in addition to that, his focus on building a lifestyle business has meant that he's been able to travel the world several times. And James is actually like a very hard-working entrepreneur. He focuses much of his effort on helping other would-be internet marketers learn the skills needed to build an actual lifestyle business of their own. And he's certainly well-positioned to carry out this job. So, James, thank you for spending some time to come onto the show today, and welcome to the show. How are you?
Wow, I'm lifted after that introduction. I think I'm going to have to borrow that for my bio.
Excellent. You like it. That's good. That's good.
You've been doing your research.
Definitely, definitely, definitely. It's good to do the research and obviously let you know that I've got some interest in what you're doing, and you know what I mean? So, yeah, definitely. Wow, let's get straight into this, James. I wanted to sort of find out a bit more about like your background. Like, obviously you worked at Mercedes, but what was it that caused you to make the online, like, because you're working at like a really good job, and what made you make that transition? Like, was you doing stuff beforehand, dabbling, and you got some results? What was happening?
Well, Mark, there are a few things. One of the first things was that I was reading a lot of entrepreneurial books and information that led me to the idea that it would be good to have a business.
Uh-huh.
And that I could get paid and then pay out wages and tax on a delayed schedule and be in control of everything, rather than just getting paid by one person, my employer. I could be paid by lots of different people, lots of different customers, to give me more protection.
Mm-hmm.
Another factor was most of my customers owned their own business, so that was a good sign. These people buying Mercedes-Benz were very wealthy.
Uh-huh.
And another thing, I noticed there were changes in the marketplace with my parents in the travel industry. Things were changing the way that people were buying. And also with the cars, people seemed to come into the showroom having a lot more knowledge about the cars than they used to before. So it was an obsession of mine to learn how to build a website, hoping that I'd be able to access this whole internet thing and be able to sell more than just the car in the local area that I'm in right now.
Oh, okay. Okay, excellent. So your aim was to actually build more leads to sell more with your current job.
Well, part of being the general manager was running the marketing department, and I was in charge of the website, and I got to know the web marketer, the webmaster, and we did stuff that I was learning at home on the website at work, and we're starting to get very good results for the dealership. But then I thought perhaps I could do this for myself, and at the same time as all of this, the economic crisis was starting to happen in the United States. The subprime lending market was collapsing. Mm-hmm. And I felt quite insecure with the fact that I was on a very high wage in a luxury industry, and I could see sweeping changes coming. And I moved pretty quickly to sell property and sell shares and to bail out before it affected everybody else.
So what was your mindset then, like, in regards to going out and starting something on your own? Like, what was your first venture that you went into? And if you could explain that.
I'd been doing ventures for a number of years before that, such as buying and selling number plates and trying to broker deals with advertising between supermarket chain and American Express. There was lots of attempted business activities. Mm-hmm. And for one reason or another, they had varying degrees of success. I was also offered half a motorcycle dealership franchise network by one of my customers, and I seriously looked into that, but none of them was quite the right opportunity. And even though I had no idea what I wanted to be when I grow up, I realized that I was going to become a jaded car person if I didn't make a move at some point.
Oh, I see. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Okay, so what happened next for you then?
Well, I tinkered with trying to build a website, and it was very frustrating and an extremely slow learning curve. This was at the end of 2005 and the beginning of 2006. And finally, after trying a lot of different solutions, I caved in and purchased some software that would make website building easier.
Okay.
And it was too difficult, and I was just ready to give up. But then I tried one last software. It was a little bit cheaper and supposedly easier, and it worked. And while I was learning the software, I built a test site to test out all the different things that the software said it could do. And I put my affiliate link, and sooner or later somebody bought a copy of this website software through my site, and I made a sale. And that was like the final step. But unfortunately, it turned out that I had purchased it through my own link by accident as an affiliate, because I'd signed up my wife for the affiliate program. But the next sale that came through was a legitimate external customer, and I was encouraged that, you know, if I could just sell enough of this, then that would be a good income stream. And I just persisted with this particular software as an affiliate, and I built that all the way up to the point where I was getting over $10,000 a month. And that took a fair while to do, but that was my first success that I went deep with.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. So then, what happened next? Like, what was you thinking about next in relation to, like, there's so many different things out there in regard, everyone's telling you to do list building, like flipping websites and so on and so forth. So did you have like a business plan of how you was going to take things to the next level? Because I know you've got a number of different websites as well, that like you've got a mastermind, and you've got the super fast business website, and you also do like events. So how did all of these things come about? Was it a plan, or was it just something that sort of evolved as you grew?
There were a few stages, but initially, you know, people weren't talking about website flipping back when I started. They were talking about AdSense arbitrage, and they were putting up spam sites. This was when blogs were on Blogger, and things were quite different back then. There was a lot of screaming sales letters that were very hard to build and had, maybe audio if you were lucky. Mm-hmm. So I pretty much just focused on going deep, learning about traffic and conversions and bonuses. So I had a strategy of building my affiliate thing, and then I cloned it and built more, and eventually I got into product creation by accident by making bonuses that people wanted the bonus more than they wanted the products. So I ended up selling them directly, and that got me to the point where I was making good income but only half my salary, so I just wasn't quite there, and I was getting frustrated with it. And then I had the thought to go to some local businesses and to, this is about 5 years ago, to offer them websites and traffic services. And two of the customers that I approached, the first two said, yes, that's great. And I took them on. And that got me to my income. And that's when I was able to quit. And then the rest of the stuff, the Internet Marketing Forum, Fast Web Formula, and in fact, the first version of that, which I ran for about 4 years, Super Fast Results, came about. And then people wanted me to help them, so the mentoring came about and some consulting. And then the community said, hey, you know, put a workshop on, teach us more stuff. So I ran the odd event. I run maybe one a year, a biggish one, and then smaller ones even at my house these days, just five or six people, higher level stuff. And then people wanted help with websites and then traffic. So I just hired some people to build my sites, and I started getting them to work on other people's sites. And I actually built services around that for web development and then traffic. And then people said, hey, what tools do you use? So I just said, I'll put an affiliate link for the other tools that I use now, and built a business around that one as well. And together they all work quite nicely because I've got the same customer for most of my services.
Oh, excellent. So you sort of mastered ability to sort of continue to sell to your existing customers.
Yeah, and really cool. To specifically answer your question, I did sit down and map it out once. I called it my Mafia plan. It was my plan to take my business. I think it's not original. I think it comes from L.I. Goldratt, but It was my version of the Mafia plan, a plan that's so good you can't refuse it. And it was my master plan to get past the $1 million a year mark. And I mapped it out on a mind map and then started ticking the boxes until I achieved every single one of the elements. I think the only one that remains was publishing a book. But if you count information products and videos and audios, then it's sort of covered. But I do have a book on the way, and then I will have completely finished the plan. But it certainly worked, not just for me, but for a lot of other people. And I started talking about it at my workshops, which are in all my recordings, and people in my forum download this plan. In fact, I've updated it a few times. I've updated it for each of the workshops, and then I updated the most recent one. Was probably Fastweb Formula 3. I really stepped people through it for a whole couple of hours, and people replicate what I've done, and it is more strategic than what you see out there on the internet, and you have to work to your strengths and figure out what kind of business you want to build, and think about it not just now, but what will it look like in a year from now?
Oh, okay, yeah, definitely. Well, that sort of leads me into a question where I remember, must have been three and a half years ago now, where I sat down and I'd done something very similar. I actually put what I called a business blueprint. I put a blueprint together, and I noticed that after I actually spent, I think it took me like a couple of weeks of like doing a bit, procrastinating, doing another bit, and then actually completed within a couple of weeks. And after I actually got that clear, concise vision of what I wanted to achieve, I started to notice that things that I thought like, how am I going to get the money to fund this? How am I going to get certain things to do certain things, and how am I going to get the right people to work for me, and so on and so forth. Because I had the clear vision, I started to notice opportunities a lot easier. I started to notice like the right type of people attracted, or just randomly sort of come into my life through different events and things that I'd go to. Did you have something similar happen?
Yeah, it's very common, and that's because, I mean, my mentor taught me that it's pretty much like creating train tracks across the desert. Okay. If you sit down and plan out where you want to go and there's stops along the way, you don't have to have the train right then and there, but you know where you're heading. So when you do see a train, you go, oh, that train would go really well on my tracks. And then you see some coal and you go, well, you know what, that coal would really fuel my train, so I'll get some of that. So you can actually recognize, you have selective attention to anything that will help you get down that track. So creating the track is fundamental. And I actually rejig mine probably every week or two. I pull out my whiteboard and I just remap a part of the business and then create an action step list and give it to the team, and we refine that part of the business.
Wow, excellent. Yeah, that's really cool. And it's interesting because I've interviewed quite a few people, and it seems that like everybody says that like if that, once they started to put their plan together, that's when things really sort of started to happen for them, because they was more clear on what they were doing. They wasn't getting pulled in different directions because they knew exactly what it was that they wanted to achieve. Also, like, I also wanted to sort of find out, like, being that you work with so many different people, like, what some of the main sticking points do you see a lot of people have when it comes to building their lifestyle business?
Well, I think we just covered the main one, that they're being reactive and just bouncing around from their email inbox. Mm-hmm, most people, when they get to their computer, they open up the inbox, and whatever's in the inbox is what they spend their time on. And usually it's not coming from a customer who wants to buy something or their team member who needs help with something. Usually it's from a marketer who wants to sell something. Mm-hmm. And it can be very distracting. So they'll spend hours at the inbox and get nothing done. That's the number one fault that I would see. People have not got enough discipline as to what they're doing. And when you recognize that the inbox is literally your to-do list that other people add things to, you've got to be extremely tight about who gets into that inbox. And for that reason, the main things come into my inbox are my own team or my customers. And they're the ones I want in my inbox.
That makes enough sense, definitely. Okay, so being a business is a bit like a roller coaster ride. There's lots of ups and downs within a business. Like, what drives you and keeps you motivated and inspired, like day by day, to keep going?
I find that things trigger my motivation. I get really motivated if I watch a movie or a documentary, or I read an inspiring book. I just get filled with really positive motivation, and I want to go out there and conquer and do something worthwhile and stamp my mark on the world and create a legacy for my kids. So I want to, you know, move people. I want to create stuff. It's kind of like the artistic streak coming out of me after years being locked behind a desk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really cool. That's really cool. So, like, obviously, what other things do you say you do, like, other than just business, like just in your spare time and stuff like that? Like, I've got here in my notes that you enjoy like bike riding and stuff like that. Like, any plans of doing any contests or any races or anything like that?
No, but I do stuff. I do all sorts of stuff. You know, it could be from 10-pin bowling or archery. I went out doing some archery on the weekend. I watch movies. I read books. I go for a walk around here. I go body surfing in the surf.
Cool.
I do ride a mountain bike in the bush. I don't need to compete for that because, you know, I have enough competition as it is with business.
Definitely.
But I do like I do like a broad range of things, and I travel a fair bit as well. Usually I wouldn't go more than 6 to 8 weeks without traveling overseas somewhere.
Oh, excellent, excellent. And like, in your opinion, what would you say, like, so somebody that's, say, just starting out, they come to you and they want some tips on what to do to get themselves started. What would be some advice that you'd give to somebody in that position?
Well, I'd ask them what they're actually trying to achieve, because that's the step. I guess you'd call this the Socratic technique of asking questions.
Okay.
The key to getting what you want is to ask the best questions. People could really help themselves a lot more than they think. Mm. In fact, most people don't put a whole lot of effort into thinking. They're just going along with the flow. So the first step is find out, what do you actually want and why do you want it? How important is that? Are you prepared to pay the price? What will you do when things get tough? Are you motivated enough to get through? And I'd work with them on setting that baseline reason why. What's the point of all of this? Once we know that, then I would ask them to map out their train tracks, to work out the linear progression from where they are now to where they want to get to, and then to set up that's the what. Then they have to set up by whom, and it may be them or it may be someone else. And I think it was probably a mistake for me to learn how to build a website, because it took me 9 months to get anywhere, whereas these days you could order a website today and it would be built for you by tomorrow. Mm-hmm. From any number of suppliers, including services like mine. So, you know, if people are prepared to get to where they want to get to faster, then there are a lot faster paths to take than having to do everything yourself. So you just work out what, by whom, and then by when, and you need to set deadlines. Deadlines are the magic secret sauce that really help things get done.
Okay, excellent. That's some really, really sort of concise and concise advice there, definitely. From what I've read about you in your blogs, like different things I see in your Facebook posts and stuff like that, like, you've got a lot of knowledge in this industry. And where would you say you derived all of that knowledge from? Would you say that it's going to seminars, taking courses, reading forums?
Yeah, tick, see, all of the above. It'd be spending 4 hours a day learning my craft for the last 6 or 7 years.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Okay. And you've got a mastermind, which I've seen. It's called the Silver Circle?
Yeah, Silver Circle.
Silver Circle Mastermind. Could you explain a bit about how that came around? And was there any fears in creating something like that, where the ticket price for that is obviously quite high, and like obviously the success of something like that, because I've seen every year you always open up the doors for it, and And yeah, so obviously if you open up doors every year, then that means it must be doing well. So I just wanted to sort of get a bit of an understanding how you go from, like, because the normal ticket price stuff is like, you're looking at like either a low ticket like $37, $100, then we'd normally call high ticket like $1,000 to $2,000, but yours is a lot higher than that. And I just want to sort of get an understanding of how you go after somebody, after somebody, and what you would offer for those types of rates.
Well, people only purchase if they feel they'll be better off.
Mm-hmm.
Once you understand that fundamental, then all you have to offer is for them to be better off once they make that investment. And the mm-hmm. second part of this is they're not investing in me, they're investing in themselves.
Okay.
So when they make that payment, they're saying that they're worth that much.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the interesting thing. The average person who joins that will double their income within 3 to 6 months.
It's amazing.
So to answer the what you get, they're getting a massive boost in their performance than what they can achieve by themselves. Mm-hmm. How do they do that? They are facing their fears. One of the fears is investing in themselves. We all have mm-hmm. a fear of investing in ourselves. And once they break through that, then it's just conquering fear after fear. There's a lot of things holding people back because they don't know and they're scared of what they don't know. But fortunately, because of the number of things that I've been exposed to and the amount of training that I had prior to coming on the internet in terms of general management and sales and marketing mm-hmm. and service businesses, I'm able to help them know much faster. I'd literally tell them what to do and they just do it and they'll get an instant result. Sometimes within a week, one of my customers in 1 month, he went from $30,000 a month to $300,000 a month.
Wow.
And that is an exceptional result.
Mm-hmm.
However, you'd have to say he would have been happy to pay the fee even if it is thousands, because he's getting a tremendous return on his investment.
Definitely. Yeah, no.
So think of it like most people are walking around all padlocked up, and I walk along with a set of keys and I just start opening up the padlocks and letting them free. That's pretty much what happens. The reason I open it up infrequently is because generally people stick around. So normally I open up every quarter, but this time I've only gone for 6 months without actually opening it up because it's been such a solid core and they're getting results. But how did it start? It started years ago with people asking me for help, and I ended up thinking, you know what, I'm helping all these people all the time for – you know, instead of building my business, I'm building theirs, and I probably should put a value on myself. If I don't charge them, at some point, I am really lowering my self-esteem. I'm saying I'm not worth it.
Mm-hmm.
So I put up a $700 per month PayPal recurring button on my blog. And every mm-hmm. time someone said, hey, you know, will you teach me everything you know? I'm like, look, go along here, order, and then I'll get on Skype with them and I'll show you what I know. Because
mm-hmm.
when I was trying to learn how to do this, there was nobody I could go to. The people who I knew were doing well wouldn't tell me a thing. The people who were happy to charge money didn't know a thing. And they were just in that high price sales thing. I thought it was very unethical and unfair. So I wanted to provide a service that I didn't think existed. And some guy came along and ordered from me. And you're right. The first time that happened, I was sort of a little nervous. Could I really give him $700 in value?
Mm-hmm.
But I added hundreds of thousands of dollars for this guy per year. Literally, I sent him over $500,000 in payments for a joint venture we did together. So he did really well out of that first mentoring. From there, I moved that price up for one-on-one from $700. Each time someone ordered, I would increase the price till I got up to $10,000 per month. And then I stopped doing one-on-one and I decided to do one-to-many, which is a small group. So we have about 30-something people in Silver Circle, and each of them pays a four-figure per month fee. But that's an investment in themselves, and they are on a month-to-month situation. So if they don't get value, they're not going to stick around.
Mm-hmm.
And the majority of people are just hanging in there forever. They'll stay a member as long as I have it.
Oh, that's really cool. And that that's a sort of like a testament to what you deliver in that coaching, because someone's not going to stick around spending that type of money unless they're getting value back from it, they're getting a return on investment from it. So that's really cool, and that's something that I'm like, wow, that's just amazing. That's just really cool. I think it's really cool. Another thing sort of I wanted to find out as well from you is, well, it's a bit of an example for me, and it's something that I've realized lately. Like I've recently taken up, like I've got like a personal trainer, like just to do it for exercise and stuff like that. And I've noticed that where before, and I think it's similar to like with coaching as well, is that where before I would go out and I'd go running, and then then I'd maybe miss 2-3 days, and then I'd go out again. Now with my trainer, because he's there to hold me accountable, I've moved ahead in leaps and bounds in my physical world, and like my personal health and so on and so forth. And that's very similar to like having a coach. By having being accountable to somebody or a group of people, and having people sort of like egging you on and pushing you forward, I can see how beneficial that is.
Yes, the answer is yes.
Yes, definitely. Without you know, doubt.
If you want to learn how to cook, you get a chef to show you.
Yeah,
if you want to learn how to dress properly, you get someone to show you how to tie a tie. I mean, it's definitely the way to go. I took a friend for an archery session on Sunday, and it was the first time. And the club director was able to give some instruction and provide the right equipment. And within 15 minutes, my friend is able to shoot the target perfectly just through having the right tools, the right instruction. Now, it is important if you're going to offer services. I mean, I could imagine someone's listening to this thinking they're all very excited and they're just going to go along and try and track me down and pay me to help them. You have to have qualifiers in place so that you're only working with the right people who you can help. So otherwise you would be irresponsible. And I want to, you know, state clearly that like your personal trainer should only work with people who are fit and healthy and don't have medical conditions and who are actually motivated and wanting to succeed, right? Mm-hmm. If they take an extremely unfit, unhealthy person who doesn't want to get fit, that fitness trainer is going to find it a real struggle, and they're going to find it difficult to get a result. And that's the same thing. I look for certain criteria in anyone that I'm looking to help, because they've got to bring some stuff to the table for me to be able to get the best results from them.
No, definitely. That makes a lot of sense. Without a doubt. Okay. So like throughout this interview, you've given some amazing tips and you've been very sort of concise and to the point, which I like. And for anybody that wants to know more about you, what you do and stuff like that, like maybe say thanks on Twitter. Like, could you give us some information on that, please? And sure. Also, if you have any parting advice that you want to leave with us, feel free to let us know.
Yeah, I'll give you some tips first. Mm-hmm. When it boils down to it, the majority of the stuff that you're doing is a complete waste of time. And as soon as you realize that, you can relax a bit, because you don't have to do all the things you think you have to do. And probably most of the things you're partway through could be stopped with no loss of anything, because the Pareto principle is in effect there, the 80-20 rule. And a lot of us have heard of it, but we don't pay it enough attention. Mm-hmm. 20% of the stuff you're doing gets you 80% of the results. Mm-hmm. And 20% of that top 20% gets you 64% of your results. So that's 4%. So what I do, and I recently did a post about this, is I always prune back. I look at all the things that I've got, and then I try and reduce down to just the important stuff. What is the most single important thing to do for your business in the short term and the medium term and the long term? And it might be as simple as, in your case, it might be interviewing one person per week. Mm-hmm. And that would grow you a great body of work over a year. It might be to build that website with a name capture form that you haven't got up. You know, I'm just talking about the average listener here. It might be just to unsubscribe from 99% of all the marketing junk that's coming into your inbox so that you can actually breathe easy and start creating stuff. You're either consuming or creating, and I think people are in consumption mode. They need to be in creation mode. So that could be the most important thing to change that habit. So that's my tip, is give yourself a bit of a break, cut back on all the stuff you think you have to do, and just pick the most important thing. The technique for that would be to write everything out from your mind, put it on a whiteboard, then take a picture of the whiteboard when it's full, and then circle, like score the important and urgent things, give them a score, like circle and make them a bit more emphasized, and then rub everything else off, and then pick the top three and rub everything else off. Those three things are probably the most important and urgent things that will change your business. And because you took a picture of the board before, you don't have to stress about it. You don't have to worry. It's there to look up later, which, by the way, you'll never do ever.
Okay.
But it's there if you need to. The top three things should keep you busy for a while, but that's all that matters, and you'll get a significantly better result from that. If you like that sort of tip, I do have a website, superfastbusiness.com. That's my main site where I post videos with tips and ideas and podcasts with interviews and stuff. And that's where I recommend people go to find out more about me. But I'm also on Facebook and I'm also on Twitter. And it's not hard to find me. If you go to fbjames.com, you'll find my Facebook page. And I'm just James Schramko on Twitter. Say hi.
Excellent. Excellent. Great stuff. Well, guys, as I always say at the end of these interviews, it's great to listen to these interviews and think you've got some really good information, but it's definitely about taking the tips that you feel that are going to be useful to your business and actually applying them and taking action on them. And James has given us some amazing gems over the last half an hour. So, James, I'd like to say thank you to you for coming on and spending some time with us. And guys, until the next interview, this is Mark Sams, this is Income Society, that's IncomeSociety.com. Speak to you soon. Take care, James.
Thanks, Mark. See ya.
Bye-bye.